I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas, my guide on cricket. And ever since Jeremy started teaching me cricket, a game I've never played, I've never been to a cricket match. I've watched them on TV or video, but I've never been one. But I enjoy learning about it because I've been using cricket terms now and again, and it automatically warms up Europeans, especially Englishmen and people from the subcontinent. When I talk to Pakistanis, for example, using a cricket reference makes me an okay guy. So I've learned a lot. However, Ben Stokes, he's a very famous player for the All England team. He's been unlucky recently, but he's certainly a significant. He's captain of the cricket, of the All England team. They're going through a bad patch. However, he's traveling on family vacation time, and he's refused entry to the United States. Does this story make any sense, Jeremy?
Honestly, John, it doesn't. And the reason why this doesn't make a lot of sense is when the English captain, Ben Stokes, actually presented at the airport, the rest of his family was actually allowed to travel to the United States without him, which means that for whatever reason, their visas were all correct and in order, but it was specifically his visa. And now, not a lot of details have been revealed. I mean, there's every chance that maybe it was an administrative error, maybe there's just something incorrectly put on the form or the incorrect type of visa was used, but there is still a lot of mystery around it because a lot of the news reporting right now is talking about the actual event, but not explaining why it happened and not explaining what Ben Stokes is going to do as remediation. Is he going to submit a new visa form or is he just going to, you know, let his family travel and eventually meet up with them back in the UK? So I think the fact that we have so few details about this so far is very interesting. But honestly, John, I mean, to give him a benefit of a doubt, and I know I've had to fill in visa forms for the US in the past, and I know that they're tricky and can be complicated and can have the slightest detail wrong and you're in trouble. But I'm wondering, maybe it is administrative, or maybe our dear Ben Stokes, who is a mortal foe of the Australian cricket team, because he is actually very, very talented and one of our biggest rivals, maybe there's something in his past that has come up that has not allowed him to actually travel to the US.
Now, cricket. A game that is associated with the Royal Navy. Wherever the Royal Navy traveled, cricket traveled for the last 150 years. I have a drawing of a cricket match in the 1850s or 60s in Australia, in Sydney, where Jeremy is right now. So, long time. However, heretofore, it's been a gentleman's game. A lot of manners are attached to it. Amazingly, because it takes 5 or 6 weeks to finish a test, you better be polite because otherwise they won't put up with you. However, it's turning into big-time sports. Oh, I can guess there's betting, but right now there's some big salaries or big bonuses being passed around, not by England, not by Australia, but by India. Jeremy, how big and what is it doing to the game?
Well, John, this is just stunning. So it's the Indian Premier League, and how big is to the tune of $4.4 million. So you can imagine that's around about $4 million US or just under dollars for a single player to play not a full season, but part of a season in the Indian Premier League. And what's happened here in Australia is that Mitchell Stark, one of our best bowlers here in Australia, has been lured away from us for at least a part of the year now to play in the Indian Premier League for $4.4 million. Now, I should point out that there is actually nothing wrong with him taking the contract. For example, he's not contracted or obliged to actually play for Australia ever. He's not literally locked into it. But you can imagine the controversy it's caused here, especially with Cricket Australia, who, as selectors of the Australian teams that are going to play the Ashes and play the big leagues, now find that they don't have Mitchell Stark on their books and they may not have him for the next season because $4.4 million is something that most Australian leagues just can't match. So we're in a bit of a quandary here in Australian cricket. We're now worried that the Indian Premier League and possibly too even the American League as well, depending on what the contract's like and the commercialization looks like, Australian cricket is our best ones, could actually start to get lured away. And really, I think if you read the underlying message in this, the Australian Cricket Board and certainly the way that Australian cricket commercialization works is there's no way to really match those salaries. So $4.4 million by the Indian Premier League, Australia can't really match that. So, John, we're concerned now. We may be heading for a serious drought of good players, and especially the younger ones who can be easily lured with a lot of money and play for some of these big leagues. They may not be playing for Australia sometime soon.
At the same time, T20, which is a game that's played within 3 hours, I understand. T20 is attracting a whole new class of cricket players. Translate this headline for me, Jeremy. Marcus Stoinis blasts first IPL century as he hunts T20 World Cup spot. What does that mean?
Oh, what it means is that Stoinis actually managed to hit a 100 runs, so a century, really, really quickly. So he blasted through the order and basically managed to smash out a 100, a quick century for him. And what that means is that because he played so well there, he's actually in contention now for the T20, because IPL is Indian Premier League. So it's outside the T20, I guess you could say, mix and lineup. But playing well in IPL means that, you know, what the T20 selectors, and T20 is basically starting to get a lot more money through commercial deals and become a lot more popular because of its short time frame, and it's more widely played around the world, which means that Stoinis now is actually looking very much in line for a lucrative T20 deal. The thing is now, which team is going to pick him up? So honestly, IPL is actually a great way for the younger players to show what they can do, so then they can get those lucrative contracts in like T20 and maybe even the Test Series, which is the ones that are played over 5 days in the future. So that's just saying that, you know what, Toe Tap Stoinis is probably going to be playing T20, and he may not necessarily be playing for Australia. So, yeah, watch this space.
I like it. I like the fact that money's coming into the game. It's clearly making a transformation, and the salaries are modest compared to what we pay baseball and what the football players earn in Europe. And I could see the T20 game translating very easily into an international game. However, it's early days. I don't want to get ahead of this. I do believe that these young players will find a motive to play more and more of the T20 match. I've watched one T20 match on video, on, you know, the YouTube, and it goes very quickly. They move it right along. It's not as fast as baseball can be, but it comes close. And the announcers were not especially helpful to rookies like me. There was a lot of inside remarks. Is that the way your T20 works?
That actually is, and I think that's actually why cricket and cricket in general has really found difficulty in trying to branch out to other parts of the world, because the commentators themselves will always talk in cricket language. And even myself, having grown up with cricket, I struggle, especially with some of the Brits, because they tend to use very British lingo, which you don't pick up. But you might also notice, John, that in the last year, if you start to watch T20 now, they're bringing in newer commentators, and commentators often from other parts of the world, including US commentators, that are actually narrating it in a much more clear language and a much, I guess, more baseball style in some ways. And you're right about the speed of the game too, because T20 actually has time limits on overs and how quickly they can bowl and bat. They have to do it quickly. So the commentators are becoming much more internationalized for that reason, because in all honesty, the number of countries now carrying T20 live on television has expanded greatly in the last 2 years. So hopefully, John, it will be easier to understand the further we go forward and the further it becomes more lucrative. And I think we'll see that, as he said, that it's going to be very similar to baseball, even though it is now, but even more so as we move forward.
I've found whenever I get stumped by, well, when I was watching this match, I asked Claude. Claude knows cricket. Who knew that Claude, by the way, is the artificial intelligence robot attached to Anthropic? It's one of the firms that have been founded recently. I believe Anthropic's attached to Amazon, but I'm not sure. In any event, Claude is the avatar. And I typed in a cricket question to Claude, and he was happy to start to teach me. I'm like a child to Claude when he knows something so well. Jeremy Zakas, he's in New South Wales. I'm in New England with Claude. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.